Now, Mr. Prady, I'm going to just talk to you just a little bit, and all you have to do is just speak in a normal voice, and I'm going to take a few notes, too, while we talk.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what I thought I'd do is just ask you a few questions, Mr. Prady, and you just tell me just what you remember. I know that you told me that George and Bill are two of the finest boys that you've ever known, even though they were your boys, you still felt that they were. And I just wonder if you could tell me a little bit, start with George first, tell me a little bit about his childhood here in Greensboro.
Well, George was just an ordinary American boy. And he's the type of boy that he was not selfish in any way. He's very fair and play. I've seen him play out in the street here at home. And a larger boy would jump on a smaller boy, and he would separate them due to the unequal size. And he's always fair in play, and he's fair in his work. And he's a church-going boy, went to Sunday school, belonged to Westmark Street Church. And he was a good Christian boy. And
I believe you told me that you went to school here in Greensboro.
Yeah. He went to school over here at ACOG.
Mm-hmm.
And then he went from there to Spring Street. And then he went from there to Grimsley High, it is now. It was called Greensboro High School at that time. And he had 2 years before he went into service in Guilford College. And had intended to go back to Guilford, but the war came on in 1941, and he didn't get back to Guilford.
Mm-hmm. What did you notice about his early tendencies toward flying?
Oh, he was absolutely crazy about an airplane, and he wanted to fly all the time, and he just really loved it. We went to visit him when he was at LaGuardia Field in New York before he went overseas. And we stayed in New York at one of the hotels, and he would come over in the evening and stay with us until bedtime. And he'd been flying practically the biggest part of the day. And one morning he told us he wouldn't see us the next evening because he had to do some night flying. And he flew quite a few hours at night. And we had a very pleasant visit with him, went to LaGuardia Field and had lunch with him, and stayed there about 5-6 days, and we came back home. And we didn't see him anymore until he went overseas and come back on his vacation, I reckon he called it.
Mm-hmm. What about here in Greensboro? Did he go out with anybody else and fly just before he went in the Army?
Yeah, a fellow by the name of Bill Teague taught he and Bill both how to fly. They flew before they went in service. And they had their headquarters out here at Vandalia, about 3 miles on Pleasant Garden Road. And I carried them out in my car several times to the field, and he and Bill Teague then on Sundays, on the weekends, would go down to Liberty and carry passengers up in their plane. And
what kind of plane did they have?
They had just a little two-seater. Mm-hmm. They carried one person up so many minutes for, I believe they charged $1 for the 5 minutes ride.
Mm-hmm.
And then they went to Burlington, was around Burlington a while. And me being on the railroad, I made a trip from here to Sanford practically every Sunday and would pass along right beside of the field about a mile this side of Liberty. And I noticed there's a little gum tree there, which I notice now is a big tree. And if he wasn't up in the air, he'd be standing under that tree in the shade and wave at me, and I named the tree George's Tree. And it still stands on Highway 421, about a mile and a half this side of Liberty.
You're an old railroad man, you say.
Yeah.
How long have you been with the railroad? How long were you
with
the
railroad? I was with them 49 years and 7 months.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Well, that's a long time. Did you have your business right around here in Greensboro?
No. I was on a local freight run. Well, I was in passenger service until it cut passenger trains off. And then I went on a local freight run, and I was away every three nights a week. I'd leave here on Monday and come back Tuesday and make a round trip, three round trips a week, and be at home on Sunday. That was after I stood for a regular job. When before I stood for a regular job, I was running as an extra, and I worked practically every Sunday.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Where did your wife come from, Greensboro?
She's raised at Battle Ground.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she's right out at Battle Ground. Her father was a merchant. And
what was her name?
Noah. Mm-hmm. Her name was Noah. And I guess we met by passing. And you know how a railroad man will be. He waved at the lady.
Mm-hmm.
So I got to waving. And I said to a friend of mine who was flagging for me that I didn't know that there was a girl there. He says, oh, yeah, that's Miss Clara Noah. Says, she's a fine girl. Says, you ought to meet her. And I made arrangements to meet her. And of course, it was about 18 months while we got married in 1916.
Mm-hmm.
We've been married 50 years last December.
Well, that sounds good.
We had the four children and we lost three of them. And we've had a very, very comfortable life. And we've lived right here on Park Avenue. I have all my life since 1910, but not all my life, but come here in 1910.
Mm-hmm.
My father bought the place over at 610, and I was married in 1916. I lived with him until I was married, and my job suited me better to live in Mount Airy.
Mm-hmm.
So we moved to Mount Airy in January the 1st, 19 and 17, and we lived there 18 months, and we moved back to Park Avenue and built this home in 1921. And Bill was just an average American boy, which naturally his parents think a lot of him, and he was a good boy. And he was a church-going boy.
When was he born?
He was born in 1924.
Mm-hmm. And George was born in
1919.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a girl and a boy and a girl and a boy, the way the family was split up. And Dale went to school at graduated at Grimsley High, it is now, and he was in State College when the war broke out, and he told me that he was going to be drafted, and he wanted to select the service he really wanted to be in. He wanted to be in the Air Corps, and I says, well, if you think you're going to take you out and draft you, I said, get your papers and send them up here, and I'll sign them. So he sent the papers up. He was underage, and I had to sign. And he went into service, and he graduated in 1942 at Brooks Field near San Antonio, Texas.
Mm-hmm.
And he went overseas at Christmas. He was on his way over Christmas Day, 1944, when George was killed. George was killed on 25th day of December 1944. And Bill was on his way over there. And we didn't hear anything from Bill for some little time. And when we did hear, he said the reason he hadn't written us before, he was waiting until the War Department notified us about George's death. And he
knew about George's
death. He knew about George's death, and he wanted to explain it to us, so he did. And all through his letter, he left the impression that he was worried a little that I might, his parents, might ask the War Department to send him home due to the other boy being killed. And he didn't want that done. And he felt like he was doing a job and he wanted to complete it. And so we didn't make any effort to have him brought home, because it's his desire to go through with what he started.
How did Bill find out about George?
Well, he was right over there, close by.
I see.
And there's some pictures come out. I think probably we got some Kodak pictures here now. I'm not sure. But there's some pictures come out in the newspaper showing he and one of George's friends talking it over. And he was telling Bill about how George was killed.
Mm-hmm. Well, did you see Bill anymore from the time he
enlisted? No. We went to San Antonio, Texas, and down to McAllen, mm-hmm. was near the field, and attended his graduation service, and his mother pinned his wings on, and we had lunch with him in the barracks. We had lunch with him in the barracks, and then Billy come home and stayed a few days, and they later sent him to a camp down in Florida. I forget the name of the camp now. I believe it was near Sarasota. And they sent him down there, and he left from there later on to go to Europe. In other words, he left there about November 1944. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He never did see George.
Yeah.
Anymore. After George come home here in 1944 of August and stayed 2 or 3 weeks, and he went down, he and his mother, to see Bill in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't see Bill anymore. And he made a statement when he come home that he could get Bill in his squadron. But he thought it would be better to let him go in some other squadron in case death did happen to one of them. He thought it would be better to have it that way.
Yeah. Well, what do you remember? Did you see George anymore after he graduated? And went in until he came back in August.
I didn't go to his graduation. He graduated in a field in Alabama, and my wife went down to his graduation.
Mm-hmm.
And then just 2 weeks after his graduation, Japan attacked Pearl Harbor. And they began to get those boys ready to send them overseas. And he left in about 2 weeks and went to Australia. And he fought the Japs in Australia for quite a little while. And they had mostly dilapidated old P-40 planes. It wasn't very good shape. And they was out practicing one morning in Australia, and George was assimilating the bomber for the fighter pilots to come down and dive, practicing dive bombing. And the young fellow from the state of Minnesota, I think it was, flew into his plane and cut it in two. and the boy was killed instantly, and George's plane was cut in two and he was falling. This is his statement to me. And he said he couldn't get his canopy open, and he realized that he was gone. And he just figured it was all off, and said for some reason he undone his safety belt. And when he did, he threw his body against the canopy and knocked the door open. And he pulled his ripcord and come down, and he had a pretty bad wound in his right leg, right hip, and just under his right knee.
Pretty good.